All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, hey, welcome to American Vindicta. Let's get started. Birth pangs. 19 volcanoes have erupted at the same time. It's coming to you from the endtimesheadlines.org. More than a dozen volcanoes were erupting at the same time around the world, and three new eruptions joined the list this week. The Smithsonian Institute Global Volcanism Program tracks new eruptions and updates its list. Currently erupting volcanoes on Wednesday, the list was updated. Let me see. The most recent update shows three new eruptions, bringing the list to 19 total eruptions at one time. So the new volcanic eruptions have some people voicing their concerns on social media, saying that volcanoes erupt simultaneously in Italy, Iceland, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Philippines, etc. This is probably not normal volcanism, but there is obviously something moving around the world tectonically. Now, we know that there'll be earthquakes in diverse places, but how many more things do you think are going to come with the birth pangs? We have multiple wars wanting to break out currently. Speaking of that, with all the meddling that Iran has been doing, funneling support and weapons to Hamas, to Hezbollah, to the Yemeni rebels, now Joe Biden has approved another additional $10 billion to Iran. We've sent $10 billion to Iran, though we just freed up who knows how many billions. And I want you to sit back and just ask yourself, wouldn't some of our money be nice to be deposited into our own freaking bank account? Like, for anyone who's on the fence about Joe Biden or about U.S. politics in general, I am sick and tired of these reprobates sending our money that we're paying taxes for, sending our money to countries that, one, we don't support. There's not a unified support for Iran. Two, how many different sides of this fight are we going to funnel? We're supporting Ukraine, who's funneling money, drugs, and people all around the world. Through different backdoor deals, we're funding Russia. We're funding Palestine. We're funding Israel. We're funding Iran. I mean, if you had, if the United Nations had a big meeting and they said, who's the problem of the world? Who is causing the most problems? Where's all this money coming from? Where's all this support coming from? It's coming from the United States. I think eventually America will have to atone for its sins, its partaking in other nations' sins, to include Israel, to include Iran, Russia, China, Ukraine, you name it. You name the nation where there's dirty dealings going on, and we're probably giving them millions or billions of dollars. And the American people are left stranded. Joe Biden said that how did he put this? He said that the gross income for the households, for the middle of the road households, right? The medium income households has risen $37,000 since he's been the president. $37,000. That's a lot of money, Joe. It's a lot of money to lie about. Or have we just been taxed that much? Is that really what it is? The middle economy, have we really just been taxed that much? Coming to you from Zero Hedge. The Pentagon has failed to account for $3 trillion for the 6th year in a row. Anyone dare try to not account for $6,000 with the IRS? The Pentagon has failed its independent annual audit for the 6th year in a row, as U.S. defense officials could not provide auditors with enough information to form a full accounting evaluation, according to the Defense Department's yearly financial report. Auditing the department's $3.8 trillion in assets and $4 trillion in liabilities is a massive undertaking, says the Pentagon Comptroller Michael McCord. The Pentagon, whom is dirty, is doing their own independent investigation as to where the hidden money is. Trust us, we will find it. That's what they're saying. The 2023 audit gave a disclaimer option, which means that the Pentagon could not provide auditors enough financial data to allow them to form an opinion. An unqualified or clean opinion is the highest possible rating, and a qualified opinion is an acceptable rating. Both mean that auditors were given enough information to make a complete judgment. In 2022, the Pentagon only managed to account for 39% of its $3.5 trillion in assets. You know where most of that's going? Most of that is going to the black budget. The, as some people have been saying lately, black ops budget. Many years ago, me and some fellas at work, when I worked for the government, it was multiple agencies. We're on an operation in Portland, of all places. I think this was like 2017, 2018. And I remember, because it was about four or five different agencies, and we had some of their intel guys with us, and they said some very unique things that we all talked about. And we were talking about the budget. And this was when James Comey was the FBI director. Now, this refers to a congressional meeting where James Comey, the then FBI director, was being accosted by Congressman Trey Gowdy. And Trey Gowdy was ripping him a new one over and over again. And then we got to this unique conversation where Trey Gowdy said, "Where is this money for the FBI going? There is a unlisted, a black hole of accounting here for money and I want to know where it's going to. And he said, sir, with all due respect, you do not have the clearance to know where that money's going. And he said, I don't have the clearance as the head of the House Intelligence Committee to know where your money is going. And he said, nope. He said, if we go to a closed door meeting, will you tell me? Nope. You do not have the authorization to know where that's going. So how are we supposed to know what our government spends money on, what our government doesn't spend money on, when this silly game that we call Congress now, I think at times does try to get to some elements of the truth, but not all of it. And, you know, I say silly game because at this point, it is nothing more than a sitcom. C-SPAN is a sitcom. The Senate, Congress, it's all a sitcom. It's a bad joke. We don't know where the money's going, though we're going to continue to tax you for it. And oh, by the way, you, the American citizen, will be held accountable for everything that you buy now, $600 or more, especially if you're trading money, $600 or more. You will be held accountable for that. But we here in the Pentagon, we can lose trillions of dollars, trillions. The Pentagon has a bigger budget than 90% of all countries around the world. Just imagine what the deep state meddles with. This money is laughable. It's laughably unaccounted for. Oops, we lost it. Don't worry, we'll look into it. This is a failure of our American government. One of many examples of why the American government has failed, continues to fail, and has been overly weaponized. We spend more money on weapons and intelligence than we do on humanitarian aid outside the country or inside of our own damn country. All the elections stolen, all the stuff with the inoculations, all the stuff with the riots, all the wars, assassinations. Throughout history of America, since the 1940s on up, America has become a loose cannon, an empire of dictators from all these different agencies. Now let's continue with this report. I could complain about this all day, but what's the point, right? Because next year they're just going to say, yeah, we just don't have enough data really to tell you where our money's at, though everybody's getting paid, right? A 2021 Pentagon assessment of the F-35 found that 800 unresolved defects were still in the plane. There is also the current plan to expand Washington's ship production, naval ship production, as part of the Pentagon's obsession with preparing for a potential war with China. A war with China, by the way, that your president, Joe Biden, just decided to go and have a meeting here in America, in San Francisco. And by the way, along the way to this meeting spot, they were more or less thrown a ticker tape parade with communist flags standing next to American flags. The obscenity of this government, of this president. And of course, it was California. This wasn't going to happen in Texas. It's probably not going to happen in Louisiana or Arkansas or Wyoming. Probably not going to happen in Montana. Probably not going to happen in many of the flyover states and the good southern, good old boy states. There's a few northern states that are still within that range. But my Lord, California how you have fallen. But I did see that there were some protesters that were going around and they were ripping the Chinese flag, ripping them down off the side of the road where it was put up next to the American flag. Good on you guys. Good on you. Hope you burn that piece of trash too. The audacity that we even align ourselves with communism in any way. And yet we'll say that we need to support Israel. We need to support Ukraine. And we need to support this nation and that nation. We need to take in all these refugees. We need to do all these things, these good humanitarian things. Or what we really know is just the military industrial complex feeding itself. And then we'll invite China, who doesn't play ball with anybody, who harasses their own people, kills its own people, has current living to date ghettos, concentration camps. You're not allowed to have any religion at all in China. If that's true, let me ask you something. If America said, we're banning Islam, no more Islam, how long do you think it would be before we started seeing Islamic extremist attacks and leftist attacks in America? 72 hours or less. Then why don't we ever see it in China? You don't. You don't. For one thing, they rule by fear. If you did try something like that in China, they're killing you. They're killing you. You're not going to get your day in court. There is no court. Your court is your face against a wall, followed by bullet, followed by blood splatter. But let's also face another dire fact, is that they're all friends. The Chinese love the Islamic extremists. Because most of those nations at one point in time fell in line with communism, like Iraq, the Iraqi Communist Party. That was Saddam Hussein's party. So, to say that we're getting ready for war with China, if we go to war with China, we're going to go to war with the entire Middle East. And at that rate, if we're going to go to war with China and then the entire Middle East, then you might as well throw in most of Africa. And since Russia has a lot to lose in the Middle East and in Africa, then we are also going to go to war with Russia. And since now Erdogan of Turkey has said that Israel, that Israel is a terrorist state, you know, like what we say about Iran all the time. You can go ahead and throw Turkey, who is a second biggest member of NATO, a nuclear powered country. So what do we have lining up? That is Ezekiel 38:39. Everybody sees that, right? I'm not the only one who's seeing that. And America is doing nothing more than poking the hornet's nest and seeing what happens. We're funding everyone on every side, and then we're striking everyone on every side. I mean, I don't get it, but it doesn't matter because we're going to hide all of our efforts anyways, just like we hide all of our budgets that you'll never be able to see, right? My Lord. The WHO is now warning that there could be a rapid spread of infectious diseases in Gaza amid the disrupted health and water systems. Currently, Israel is going into Gaza. And to make things worse, is that they are attacking everything now. And there are many civilian casualties now. And I think it's interesting to note that you see a lot of people coming online and they're going against Israel. And then you see a real hard line of people that are very pro-Israel. I'm not pro-Israeli government. I'm pro the nation of Israel and the people of God, as we should be. Other than that, you guys with your conspiracies of these aren't the real Jews, this, and we don't support that. Look, I don't support the synagogue of Satan, which many people have aligned themselves with that side of Israel. I don't support the way Israel or Israelis attack openly Christians or Messianic Jews. The state of Israel as a whole has a very big problem. A very big problem. Not just a war problem. They have a spiritual problem. And Israel is going to be made to look like the worst nation on earth because of what they're going to do to Palestine. I've already been saying that. They are on a war path. Netanyahu is on a war path to go and fight Iran. I believe that's where his older brother died fighting Iran. So I think he wants a vengeance. I think there's just more to say or more to be said about the airstrikes that are going on in Palestine. They killed over 130 civilians just to kill one jihadi. To the extent, which was strange, was that even the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, came out and said that Israel needs to stop indiscriminately killing, needs to stop being so brutal that even war has rules, which Justin Trudeau, war does not have rules. There are no rules in war. There is only fear. If Israel started to gas the citizens in Gaza, and thus Iran decided to start doing ballistic launches into Israel, and Israel could not stop it, well, the fear of repercussion of, well, if I do this, then these people will all do this to me, that's what really stops many of these things happening in war. Justin Trudeau, you have no idea what war looks like or even sounds like or smells like. So you need to just shut your little girlish mouth. But once again, it's the narrative, guys. He's talking about a narrative. We have events and narratives. The next series of events are Middle Eastern wars, most likely. Most likely, Psalm 83 war coming to life, followed by Ezekiel 38, 39. You cannot stop scripture and prophecy. You cannot stop it. Or at least that's what I read in my Bible. So let's see, let's continue. Independent journalist infiltrates Freemason Lodge and exposes bizarre rituals. I think if anybody wants to see this, go to InfoWars and you'll be able to see it. As Christians, we are not to be part of Freemasonry. We are not to be a part of any occult. We are not to be a part of any secret society. And yet, though I know a church in California that has its own little secret society within it that's called the Paladins. And I won't name the church because I know many government officials who go to this church. But within this church, they have their own little society called the Paladins. And they go around and they do the exact same kind of rituals and recruiting as the Masons do, even though the Masons say they don't recruit. That's bogus. Masons have tried recruiting me for at least a decade. At least a decade. And you don't need to be a part of the Masons. I remember my dad telling me that. You don't need to be a part of the Masons. I wouldn't gain anything from them. Let's give an update on gun violence real quick. Total number of gun violent deaths this year, 37,809. Homicides, murders, and unintentional gun violent deaths, 16,623. Suicides, 21,186. Total number of injuries from gun violence, 32,627. Mass shootings in 2023, 604. Mass murders with guns, 32. Number of children from age 0 to 11 that have been killed because of gun violence, 259 this year. Injured, 585. Number of teenagers ages 12 to 17 that have been killed this year by gun violence, 1,245. Injured, 3,520. Officer-involved incidents where the officers had to kill someone, 42. This is the officers that were killed this year. So officer-involved incidents where officers were killed is 42. We've lost 42 police officers this year. Officers killed or injured. So this is injured. 333 officers injured by gun violence this year. 42 killed by gun violence. Officer-involved incident where they had to kill somebody with a gun, 1,265. Subject or suspect that was killed or injured. This is typically just injured. 707. Defensive use for civilians with guns, 1,047. Unintentional shootings, 1,388. Murder-suicide incidents. That's where typically if it's a lover's quarrel or a crime of passion where you'll have someone who will kill the person that they love and then they will kill themselves, 583. I wanted to go over that because it don't take but about 5 minute cursory search on the internet for you to see that violence is continuing. It's not going away. It's not getting any nicer. It's not getting any easier. And you need to be trained. There is nothing wrong with knowing how to use a gun, how to use a gun properly, safely, how to store a gun safely so that your children may not get into it. Very sad stories that I have heard of officers who would store their guns with a round in the chamber, with their kids around them. And then in at least two or three that I know of where the child actually was somehow able to grab the gun and then shoot themselves. And that's because officers were either just laying their gun belts around in a place that's not secured, or they're not taking their pistol and putting it into a secured safe that's out of the arm's reach of a child. I actually know of one incident where the officer, when he would come in every day, he'd take off his duty belt and he would put it on the top of the refrigerator. And his son, who was about four, found a way to get on the cabinet, get on top of the refrigerator, grabbed the gun, and unfortunately shot himself and died. If you're going to own a firearm, you need to know how to use it. You need to know how to prevent accidents. And you need to have good training on it. We do provide training. The kind of training that we provide is typically scenario-based training, where we will put you into different scenarios where you have to deal with people. We said it before, we'll say it again. Paper targets are not what's coming to kill you. Paper targets are not what's kicking your door in the middle of the night. America won't be invaded by paper targets. It's a people problem. You got to know how to give proper commands, make judgment calls, work as a team, or work independently. You need to know how to work corners, how to maintain safe distance, and to know when to rev up the engine and to rev down the engine, meaning when to turn on the aggression and when to slow it back down so that you can think. Because during a high intense incident, your body is going to naturally bump up the adrenaline dump. Your heart rate is going to increase. Your respiration is going to increase. Your blood pressure will go up, and you will start to get tunnel vision. You get what we call audio and visual exclusion. You will not hear things that are going on around you, and you will not see things that are going on around you. Your peripheral vision won't be working because your eyes will be pointed so much forward that you're almost blind to everything going on around you. There are ways to train yourself to get out of that. Sometimes it's unavoidable, right? But there are ways to train yourself to get out of that. One thing, here's a useful piece of advice for you. Combat breathing. Combat breathing is breathing through your nose and out your mouth. You actually get more oxygen into your lungs when you breathe through your nose than you do in your mouth. So not only is it actually healthier for you, but it helps you to slow down. Not only that, walking heel to toe, thinking of your feet as little rocking chairs, right? When you walk heel to toe, you force yourself to slow down. Can you always break down and get into an athletic position and then start sprinting or moving side to side? Yes, you can. But walking heel toe will not only help you with slowing down, slowing your mind down, recapturing the moment. Instead of speeding through it and getting your tunnel vision, recapturing the moment. But you'll also be able to stay on your sights, which means a lot if you have a pistol in your hands, right? If I'm running, okay, and as I'm running, my pistol is doing this. This is my rear sight. Here's my front sight. As I'm running, my pistol's doing this. Am I on my sights? Am I looking at my sights? No. If you're going to shoot anything more than about 3 meters away, you better be on your sights. From 3 meters to 0 meters, we do what we call point shoulder shooting. So that is where my hands grab the gun. They form this isosceles like triangle. Where my fingers are pointing when they hit that gun is typically where that bullet is going to land, unless you hesitate and you jerk the round. But after 3 meters, so after 6 feet, you need to be on your sights, especially if you have to take a precise shot, like a headshot. Who right now thinks that what I'm talking about will never apply to you? Who right now thinks that what Doug is saying is just a little crazy? He's just trying to sell training, which I am, a shameless plug, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is to be more proficient so that you are more reliable, so that you don't accidentally shoot the wrong person, one. You don't accidentally shoot yourself, two. And three, that you hit what you were aiming at. If it's a bad guy, you may only have the chance to have one shot. Especially if they have a weapon. split second decision. I've seen many people during these split second decisions, they decide to monologue, to start talking. I'm not going to look down upon you for doing that. We're all human. I don't think anybody wakes up every morning and says, man, can't wait to shoot me somebody. If you do, please go and turn yourself into the local police. But if you're like 99% of the rest of us, we don't want to have to draw our sword. But Jesus did tell us that you need to be protected. You need to think defensively. If you don't have the means for protection, sell your cloak, buy a sword. But if you buy a sword, it is only a sword when it is in the hand of the warrior. Sitting in the scabbard, it might as well be nothing more than a big onion chopper. Especially for those of you who have zero training with that sword. And it's colloquial, right? We're talking about a gun. Or you could be that one dude with a sword in your house, all right? Good on you. But if you don't know how to use the pistol, the rifle, the shotgun, and you buy it and you keep it in your safe, and you, yeah, I've talked to people who tell me, you know, Doug, I'm scared of this weapon. I'm scared. It's loud. It's dangerous. It's a gun. I don't want to have to hurt anybody, but I want to protect my family, but I just don't know where to begin, what to do. I'm nervous. I'm embarrassed to go to another man. Listen to me. You need to throw all that out the window. All that out the window. Do not ever be embarrassed about wanting to learn how to better protect yourself or your family. Even for veterans, even for cops, we still reach out and go to different training venues because we always want to progress forward and not recess backwards in our training. We want to go forward in our training. We want to have the best upper hand in those events, right? So if you need that kind of training, guys, the best place you can do it is your local online gun training events. Learn the basic fundamentals of marksmanship. Learn the basic weapon safety, the fundamentals of marksmanship, home safety storage. And then from there, when you want to learn tactics, there's a few places out there that'll teach you tactics. If you feel like it, you can come to our course. I think we have a really, really good course. We haven't had one negative comment yet about what we teach. And we're very humble. We're not here to make you feel stupid. We're not here to poke and make fun of you or tell you war stories and make you think like you're insignificant. I know guys that are like that. No, we're just here to make you better. We're here to make you confident so that when you go home, you can protect the castle, right? That's what it's all about. So with our training, especially what's coming up in December, we're going to have a 4-day course in December. It's going to get biblical. It's going to. December's course is going to be fun. We are going to be on our feet a lot, both day and night. We're doing patrolling. We're going to do a lot of patrolling. We're going to learn how to react to any type of incident in a team environment. We're going to be walking around as a team, training as a team, conversating as a team, eating as a team. We are going to be doing the shoot house and all the scenarios that come with it. We're actually going to do the live range, the live fire range, because there's a few things that I want to show some of you guys. Every time we've had one of these training events, this is interesting. I tell people, look, I have a live fire range built into this training. Who wants to do it? And who wants to go kill a paper target? And who wants to keep doing the tactics? And everybody says, oh, let's keep doing the tactics. Now, I will tell you that you should be on the firing line firing your weapon. Airsoft does not cut it. Video games do not cut it. You have to grab your gun and physically shoot it. If you ever go to an instructor for firearms training and they never shoot their weapon in front of you, I would probably question what kind of an instructor that is. Because you should always be giving examples. Whenever you go through the shoot house with us, you're given nonstop examples. We walk through with you. We'll clear the rooms with you. We'll show you what it is that we're looking at. We'll show you what it is that we do. All right? We're not the masters of CQB over here. But I've got 15 years of doing this. I got a few hints and helpful examples that I can give you to make this process much easier for you. And all the guys who are leaving this weekend's training, they're going home and they're doing this training with their friends, with their family, with their churches. We've got, I think, one or two churches who are going to be reaching out to us so that we can bring this training to them. We don't do it for free. So there is a price to it. It's $850 a person. That's for the standard 3-day course. This 4-day course that's coming up, which is going to be $1,000, that is built in with 4 days of training plus food. Okay. That is a lot of training. Nighttime patrolling. We're going to be doing a lot of nighttime tactics, especially in the shoot house. I'm going to show you how to use your flashlight in a way that you may not have ever thought. I'm going to show you some little tricks of the trade that I learned being a cop. We're going to do a lot of radio communication. We're going to do some basic first aid, basic CQB, one man, two man, team environment stuff, casualty evacuation stuff, the gun range. We're going to do a lot of fellowshipping. We're going to have a bonfire every night. I said this with the last class and we just never got to it because it was raining. But we're going to have a bonfire every night. It's going to be an open forum discussion, whatever we want to talk about. And you know, hopefully some good Bible study. As far as I know, I think we're the only guys who do that. So hopefully what we can do is influence others to do that as well. We need to really bring this home and make Christ the center of what we're doing. Okay. But don't be afraid to use violence. Don't be afraid to apply violence. Any man who comes into your home uninvited, blood is on their own hands if anything happens to them. There have been some discussions lately for preparation. I tell you to continue to prepare. You need to continue to stock up on food, on medicine. Get training while you can. There's a reason why Xi Jinping, the communist dictator of China, was just in the United States visiting our president. Either he's getting ready to step down and Newsom's getting ready to step in. Do you know what kind of trouble that would be in this country? Something is getting ready to happen. Now, I don't want to say anything to alarm you or scare you. I'll let some of these other guys do that. But I'll tell you that you need to continue to train, prepare, and pray. And with that, let's do some Bible study real quick. Today is November 17th. Are you among the 7,000? All through the Bible, the number 7 is equated with God's eternal purpose. I believe, therefore, that the number 7,000 that God quoted to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, simply denoted everyone who made up his remnant. In truth, the people he sets aside for himself could number 70 or 70 million. What matters is that they are holy and given to God. What are the characteristics of the remnant? Here are three defining marks. One, an unchangeable commitment to cling to the Lord. Every remnant believer has made a single-minded choice to swim against the tide of evil. At some point, we have to make a commitment, declaring, I do not care what others say or do, I am the Lord's, and I will not give in to the wicked spirit of this age. Number two, a willingness to identify with the poor. While society's trend is to associate with the rich and successful, we align ourselves with the suffering class. Obadiah was a godly man serving in Jezebel's house, someone determined to fear God and no one else. He proved that his heart was right and was with the poor by taking care of 100 ragged, suffering prophets. See 1 Kings 18:4. And number three, a reliance on hope. The 7,000 in Elijah's time endured because of their hope in a coming day of deliverance. Likewise, today, the church's blessed hope is the soon return of Jesus. With one trumpet blast, all wickedness will end. Our Lord will do away with all killing of children, all blatant perversions, and all ethnic genocide. Do these three marks characterize you as part of God's holy remnant? If so, God boasts of you. This one has given his heart to me. He is focused on me, and he is wholly mine. We are to evangelize, minister to the poor, and work while it is still day, living in the hope that King Jesus is coming to rule. And he is. Jesus is coming back. All right. Lastly, if you turn with me now to Matthew 16, Matthew 16. The Pharisees and the Sadducees demand signs. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. What was the sign of Jonah? The sign of Jonah for Nineveh was repentance. If you recall, he said many times to God, "Just kill me. I don't want to deal with these people anymore. Just get rid of me." He was so angry. God kept asking, "Why are you so angry?" "I'm angry at everything." He looked down at a plant that was dying. He said, "I'm angry because this dang plant is dying." You know, God has unique answers for foolish men. I was definitely one of those foolish men at one point. "Why are you angry for a plant that died? I'm the one who made it. I'm the one who made it come up last night and it died tonight." I think that in the story of repentance, our work is never done until we're with the Lord. Not only should we be repenting, but we should be speaking of repentance, most especially to Christians who have lost that, who have created this unique Christian superiority complex. Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have to do any of these things. God's going to take care of me. I pray he does. But I can read you a whole book of martyrs that may disturb that ideology of yours. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. Nope. Tomorrow I'll ask for forgiveness. Maybe. If I got time after I come back from Starbucks. Being a Christian is a steady state, a mindset of trying to grow to be more Christ-like, bearing many fruits. Those many fruits is to be as closely compared to Christ in our walk as possible. You go to your church, look around. Don't openly point at people, but you'll see many who do not bear many fruits. And leading people to the Lord is not bearing many fruits. It's being more Christ-like. It is an individual race. You can't get there by your works alone. You have to grow within you to be more Christ-like. Be more Christ-like in your speech. Be more Christ-like in how we love one another, we tolerate one another, how we comfort one another, how we're there to help the widows, the orphans, the poor. When's the last time anyone did that? Tithing, not only tithing, but also giving alms, giving gifts. You know, there's been a period of time where, gosh, we just completely forgotten to tithe because money's been so tight. And in my own lack of faith, I didn't tithe. My biggest weakness, always money. I hate any time I get money and I think, oh, geez, yay, now I get to pay 2 months worth of bills that I'm always late behind on. That's not the point. The point is to have faith that God will provide, not Doug will provide. God will provide. The only thing I provide is stress, right? I can control that. I can control that by having faith. I believe more than anything that if you truly live a repentant lifestyle, if you truly have faith in the Lord, if you are truly seeking after his face, God will respond. God will move mountains for you, as he did for me and my family when we almost lost our home. I've told that story a few times. But it was a real miracle. One that maybe we may not ever get to compare to something like that again. I mean, it was just such a big thing. But the power of God is not limited. It's just waiting for you. You know, once again, it's like a radio frequency. If I'm a guy with a radio and I got a buddy over here and he's got a radio, while we can see each other, what we call line of sight, and there's nothing in between us, we can talk back and forth all day, have a great conversation. But the moment I put something in between me and my buddy, that line of sight communication now has to travel through or over in order to reach that guy. And eventually, it'll work with, you know, one or two things in a way, maybe three or four things in a way. But once I put a forest in the way, once I put a mountain of burdens in the way, don't get heard no more. And I start to get real lonely when me and my buddy can't talk no more, right? That's you and God. When you start to put all those things that you sin over, all those things that you worry over, all those things that you say, well, I should be more like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses over here. All those things are limiting. They're pleasing to the flesh. They're limiting to the spirit. Paul learned how to be prosperous and in faith, and poor and in faith. We need to learn that as Christians. We need to learn that lesson. You may not always be in the financial position that you are right now. You may be ascending or descending. And if the economy crashes like all the economic experts keep ringing the bells about and freaking us all out over, we're all going to be descending. Today I read that the American dollar is strong. What a joke. Who believes that? Many, many do. So I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, sweeps across this country and a call for repentance is placed on the heart and soul of every man, woman, and child in America. I pray for the safety of you all. I pray for your prosperity in faith. Not your wealth, but in your faith. I pray that you are always in the right place at the right time and never the wrong place at the wrong time. But be ready spiritually in your faith, physically in your preparation for when the wrong time does come. For when the bad times do happen. For many of you out there, you will never see the day of the Lord. For some of you, your actions, your speech, the motivations of your heart, you are tiptoeing closer to hell than you are redemption. Come back to your first love. Drop the ignorance, drop the arrogance, drop the ego. Come back to Christ. That's all I got. Thank you all very much for listening. Please like, share, subscribe, send me emails, all that cool stuff. And we'll see you guys next time. Stay frosty. The enemy is out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.